Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Women Arise. My name is Dr. Tamika Brown, and I'm one of the co-hosts. We have Londa G. She's another co-host, and we have Mary Kane, the host of Women Arise. We want to thank you for joining us. And if you are watching us on social media, could you do us a favor, like, share, and join in by posting your comments or question. This evening, we would like to welcome our special guest, Dr. Rucker. Dr. Rucker is an amazing entrepreneur and the founder of Divine Diamond Ministry. Dr. Rucker is a pioneer as a marketplace apostle, equipping and empowering with training, authentic life coaching, kingdom mentorship, and so much more. And we are excited that you are here. Dr. Rucker is also an action taker. And as you listen to her story, you will understand the importance of mindset. Ladies, let us give a warm welcome, applause, or emoji for Dr. Rucker. Dr. Rucker, would you do the honor of providing us with some additional insights regarding Divine Diamond Ministry?
Oh my goodness, it's such an honor to be here with you ladies. I thank God tonight. Divine Diamonds Ministry is a global internet-based ministry. It's all about empowering women as well as men, exhorting, encouraging, and also training and teaching so that we can prosper in the marketplace. So we're not a traditional ministry. We were online since 2009, so long before the global pandemic, which shut down many of our church houses and doors. And so we thank God for the foresight and the insight that he has imparted in us to come online for such a time as this.
Yeah, that's actually good to hear that you've been on the marketplace for 2009. So Dr. Rucker, let me just based on what you just provided us, the additional information, how did you have to change your mindset when the pandemic happened when it comes to your Divine Diamonds ministry?
Well, first of all, I was blown out of the water because when I launched online in 2009, it was unheard of. It was out of the box. I didn't have a lot of support. There was no real inner circle that was encouraging me to run on with the vision. And so I had to trust God. I had to believe God all by myself. And so when the pandemic hit 13, 12 years later, I was like, oh my God, now I get it. Now I understand, because we all had to shift in one respect or another. And so for me, already being out there on the internet highway, all of a sudden, everyone was there. And it became a little, almost like overwhelming, because people I had not seen or heard from in terms of my peers were now suddenly online. They were sending me friend requests in social media, and people started asking for tips and ways to manage this online phenomenal experience. And so I was like, God, I had to go back to God. See, we never can get but so far ahead without laying back and falling back and checking in with God. So the same way he blew my mind in 2009, now my mind was being blown all over again in a different way. I had to shift again because the demand now was greater. It was greater. So just imagine you on a highway with just one or two cars, and then they add another two lanes, and the highway is now jam-packed. So it was like, oh my God, the demand was so great for coaching and teaching that I had to shift again and trust God on a whole nother level.
Oh, that's good, Dr. Rucker. And I'm just listening to you talk, and I kind of see it as an overseer. God was already preparing you because he's omnipresent. He knows what's about to take place. So he was already transitioning you to actually get your marketplace on the web. So when it evolved here on the physical earth, you was going to be one of those overseers that people come to because you've been doing it for a while. So that's actually some great insight that you provide. Before we dive in, we all know that this week's topic revolves around mindset. And as a believer of Christ, it is important to change and renew your mindset. I believe we renew our mindset by saturating ourselves in the Word of God. And I kind of like to go back to the Bible verse, because Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so when I think about that, I think Apostle Paul, to me, is saying that every one of us is either conforming to the world or we're transforming. And I believe if you conform to the world, then you maybe become double-minded, because the world is always changing. But if you're transforming to what God's word says and what God says, then you're renewing your mind on a daily basis. So I want to do kind of like a round robin, Dr. Rucker. I'm going to start off with Londa B, because I got some questions I want to actually get their input to as well. So Londa, can you provide us on why you feel that the mindset is important?
Well, as one of the ladies said on the podcast, she said, let me quote her right. She said, the mind affects your thoughts, and your thoughts affect your actions, and your actions affect your habits, which ultimately lead to your destiny. So it's just the root, right? It's the root. If the root is foul, if the root isn't well, then you're not going to produce a good fruit. So you have to start with the mindset. If your mind is in the gutter, if you're filling your mind with trash TV, which, you know, sometimes it could be addictive, but it's wrong. It's, you know, really, what positivity is it bringing for you? If you're filling your mind with a bunch of social media, comparing yourself to others, you know, sometimes that'll grow a root of bitterness or envy or jealousy. If you're filling your mind, you know, with just negative music or things that are against the word of God, like, that is not going to allow you to be able to develop a Christian mindset, to be able to live a Christian walk, and which ultimately will lead to the destiny that God has for you. So.
Okay, that's very good, Londa. It's kind of like what Matthew says, like the seed. You know, even though it's used for different terminology, we are actually, you know, how are we, our seed, how are your seed being developed? So Mary, can you actually provide some more insight in reference to why you feel that the mindset is important?
Yes, I'm just kind of piggybacking off of what Londa said. There's a scripture that in 1 Corinthians 6, and it says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And when I think of that scripture, I think about the mind, the mindset, because we can take in, you know, anything that we want to. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a sin. Certain things are not sinful, but certain things may not always be good for you in certain seasons of your life. Just like food, you know, there are certain foods that we eat. And we love it. It's good. You know, it tastes good. But then if we have too much of it, then we can get sick. You know, if we're trying to lose weight, then we know that we need to put those foods to the side for that time being. And I feel like with mindset, it goes the same way, at least for me, because I know that there are seasons in my life where, you know, I know that the Holy Spirit will tell me, you need to kind of spend more time in prayer, spend more time in the Word. And I just know that during those times, okay, I need to, you know, be careful of what is entering into my ears and my eyes and what I'm thinking about. And I need to really just take that time to be present, more present with God and with what He's trying to speak to me in that season of my life. Your thoughts determine your destiny. Absolutely. You know, it's if we want our life to be different, then we have to start with how we think, because ultimately, in order for us to truly change, it has to start in our thoughts. So.
Okay, that's very good. Now, Dr. Rucker, we're going to kind of stick to the same question, but I want to bring you in, because I want you to tell us, the audience, and let us know why you feel mindset is important when it entails obtaining wealth.
Well, everything that the lady said is right on point. And look, when it comes to wealth, it still comes down to mindset, because mindset is everything. That's what I say. Everything begins with a thought. Everything. So whether you're pursuing wealth, or you're pursuing prosperity, or you're pursuing wellness and health, what a relationship, you have to first give it thought. And so when it comes to wealth, you have to believe that you're worthy of being wealthy. You have to believe that you're capable of creating wealth. And your mindset is made up of your belief systems, your blueprints of life, your opinions, your feelings. All of that goes into your mindset. So unless you really believe that you can make six figures, that you can be well and prosper in every area of your life, unless you really believe that you can obtain a wealthy place, there is not going to be any manifestation, because it begins with your belief system. So the first step in obtaining wealth is believing, your mindset, your thoughts. So as a man thinks, so he is, so he becomes.
Yes. And that's good, Dr. Rucker, because as I'm listening to you talk, when we talk about wealth and prosperity, we are talking about finance, but we're also talking about every area of our life. So it was good that you say it's every area of your life, your mind and everything else. Because sometimes when we talk about wealth, most people say, oh, finance, finance, finance. You can be wealthy financially and still be broken. So it's important that you realize that wealth is important. When we're talking about wealth and we're talking about the mind, we're talking about prosperity in every area of your life. So we kind of going to shift just a little bit, but not too much with that. So Dr. Rucker, can you just kind of elaborate on why you believe that you think it's harder for us to, it's easier for us to kind of believe old lies than to think new truth?
It boils down to change. Most people do not want to change. Change is simple, but it's hard. You know, you have to make it up in your mind that you're going to change. You got to believe that you can change. And it's going to require effort on your part. So it's easier to stay in a laid back, complacent, comfortable position than to step up and to, I love your title, to rise up in a new thought, in a new lifestyle, in a new habit. That takes effort. That takes consistency. That takes a new way of behaving. It takes a new norm. And most people, be honest, rather just lay back and let it do what it do.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yep. And so we're going to get a little personal, because we want to be honest. Our job here on Women Arise is to equip and be honest. So Londa B, can you think about something that you had to change? And what did you do in reference to making that change?
Where do I start? Right. Let's just go. I mean, as far as just being a wife, right? You know, mm-hmm. you go so many years being independent and, you know, just working for yourself, doing for yourself, taking care of yourself. And then one day you wake up and you have a partner, you know, there. And I struggled for a long time because I was raised by a single, mm-hmm. you know, mother. My father had passed away. I saw her do everything. So mm-hmm. I grew up thinking that's what I was supposed to do as a woman, is do everything, which if you're not married, then that is probably what you have to do. But once you get married, that has to balance out. You have to be able to let go and allow your husband to step in and change. And that was hard for me my first couple of years of marriage, just kind of stepping back and allowing my husband to be that man. But I knew it was going to make or break our relationship, right? If my mm-hmm. husband was in the marriage and he felt like he wasn't needed, then really, what was the purpose of him being there? So I had to step back a lot to allow him to be the man. Although I felt like at times I could do this, or if I did it, it would be that way. That's where the hard part was for me. Mm-hmm. I had to allow him to do it and accept the way that he did it. So that was something I struggled with. But I praise God, through grace, prayer, and wisdom, I was able to correct it and make that change.
And see, Londa, I can relate to that, because I also came from a single mother household, and God give glory to my mother. Strong mm-hmm. African-American women. I'm just saying, so strong, like you just take that same trait. You become exactly yeah. who your mother are. Like I told my mother, I was raised to be a great mother, because that's all I had. I didn't have a role model or what a successful or what God mm-hmm. see as a successful marriage. So you said it took you about 2 years. I'm going to just say I've been married almost 26 and it took me about 20 years.
Yeah, it's for real though. It's almost a daily thing. You have to remind yourself, you know, it's like I've come past the points where like I would just jump in, right? But it's still a daily reminder, like step back, Londa, step back, you mm-hmm. know. So I completely understand. I'm not 100% there. I've just accepted the challenge for the change.
Yes. So Mary, can you talk about something that was easy for you to believe, but it was kind of hard for you to think new truth, something that you had to change?
Something that I have had to change. I'm trying to think. For me, I would probably say thinking mine is, it's positive, but it's in a different way. Thinking that I can do everything, you know, I want to be everywhere at all times, helping everybody, whoever I can help. And I felt like I could, you know, until, and I think I really tried to do it as far as I could until I couldn't do it no more. And when I got there, I had to allow myself to not feel guilty about what I was no longer able to do. I had to be okay with saying no, you know. I had to change my thoughts and my mindset on what I believed it looked like. I think you remember when we talked about this in our first episode, what mm-hmm. it looked like to be a woman, you know, and, you know, to be a mom and those different roles and responsibilities. And I had to allow myself to let some things go and be okay with it, even if it meant for a certain period of time. There's that song, I'm not your superwoman. So I had to change my mindset on, okay, what does success look like for me? What does success look like for my marriage? What does success look like for me being a mom? You know, all of that had to shift. And I had to allow God's grace to help me walk out this new vision of what it needed to be for me.
Okay. So Dr. Rucker, so we're going to bring you back in because I would love to hear your input on this. Being that you was, I call it a forerunner, since you was actually in the marketplace marketing since 2009, overseer, God gave you insight and you was taken it by stone, but also being appointed as a ordained apostle by God and a woman. Tell me how you had to change your mindset, because I know that we as women, it's a little different for us. So we would love for you to provide us with some insight regarding that.
Yeah, it really is different as a woman, no matter what your walk of life is. And as a leader, I had to be comfortable in who God called me to be, you know, and who he ordained me to be. That meant being a female apostle, sometimes in a room with male apostles or male leaders, and being comfortable with being led by them, and then being willing to step up to lead the conversation or the pathfinding discussion. And so I had to get comfortable with rejection, with isolation. Okay, I had to get comfortable. I had to shift my mindset and say, if God ordained me, if he anointed me, if he appointed me, it is what it is. And I'm going to stand tall in it. So it was the constant shift of building up my confidence and building up my self-esteem and not allowing other people's opinion. Well, she's a woman, you know, or she's a black woman, or she is... whatever the opinions may have been, I had to be, I guess, be in his covering, in his love, in his grace. I had to hide in him so that the darts of the enemy would not penetrate me and break me. So I had to really shift and being, you know, with the full armor on and knowing that you know, if God be for me, it goes back to the word, who can be against me? And it's amazing, as you put on that armor, as you put on that spiritual kingdom mindset, because in the kingdom, as far as God is concerned, it's not male or female. So you get to be okay. You know, that's their problem and not yours. And sooner or later, God will send the people who will honor you, who will support and love you for who you are.
That's good.
Yeah. That was real good. And like Miss Georgette says, trying to be everything to everybody is exhausting. And when I'm reading that, if you're being everything to everyone, then who are you to yourself?
Absolutely. You got that right.
So God. Who are you to God?
Yeah, who are you to God? Yes.
Because he's the one who's called us, equipped us, chose us. And I think about just when you're saying that, you know, David, you know, when he went out to fight the Goliaths, you know, he had to go in his, just like Apostle said, he had to go in his own armor. You know, he tried to put on Saul. It was too big. You know, he had to fight his battle with what God had equipped him with, and what God had gave him was enough. Mm-hmm. It was enough to win the battle that he was up against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Dr. Brown, I think sometimes as women, we do get a little vulnerable to comparing ourselves and being over concerned about other people's opinion and wanting to be everything to everybody. And we do have to become very aware that God has only called us to a certain people at a certain time to do a specific assignment. So if we focus on what God is calling us to do, then everything else will just really go past us and it won't hurt us, because it's the enemy's desire to stop us and to block us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Rucker, that is so good that you say that, because even with me spending time with God, because you know we all been called to be disciples, and you know your job here is salvation, and you know you always trying to compare, okay God, what is this going to look like, but what if they don't accept it? And God had to remind me, you're not signed to everyone, your voice is not for everyone, you're assigned to specific people, so you're not going to grab everybody. So if you realize that you're not assigned to everyone, then you'll be able to move in the calling that I have on your life.
That's good.
That's it. Well, you know, it took a time for me to understand that I wasn't a traditional apostle, because, you know, the teachings weren't there, you know, 20 years ago for apostles in the marketplace. Yeah. So when it comes to building and creating in the digital landscape, I'm your go-to expert. You know, I am not necessarily carved out for the four walls and the traditions that are attached to it. But when it comes to media and digital and online marketing, promotion and products and services, God blessed me and anointed me for that.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But it took me time to get there.
Yeah, and you know, another, and like you said, it's a lot of things when you're talking about the apostles and the fivefold ministry. It's not just, you know, I think it's the church as well. A lot of people are pulling away from that, and I think it's so much needed, because God has appointed people, and when you have nothing to build on and you have a calling, it can die out. You know, it's just like anything. If it's not being birthed and you're not planted where someone can help you change your mind and accept who God has called you to be, even though you may be in the world, there's still people that could be assigned to you to help develop what God has called you. So that's good that you say that, because like he says, when it comes to the marketplace now, there's a few that I've been kind of following in the marketplace, because I know that it's on the rise when it comes to the apostles and the prophets. They're hitting the marketplace now. So let's kind of change a little shift, not too much, because we're still going to focus on mindset. So Dr. Rucker, what do you feel, or how do you feel we break the poverty mindset?
Oh, we said it earlier, by the renewing of our mind. I think you gave that scripture in the very beginning. That's the powerful game changer right there. Until you renew your mind, until you understand that God created you in his image, and therefore he gave you the power to create wealth, you know, not the power to be broke or to be in lack, you know, and to break out of scarcity, break out of the old cliches, you know, when the family said, well, money don't grow on trees, you know, or when you constantly heard, we poor, we can't afford that, we can't afford that. Girl, go somewhere and sit down, you know, go get a job. You know, nobody really ushered us into go create a business, but go get a job or go to college and get a better job. Uh-huh. And so renewing your mind based on the word of God and really taking hold of the word and making it personal. You know, when I read Deuteronomy 8:18, that God had given me the power, uh-huh. That was a game changer. I was like, okay, it's within me to create wealth. So in the Old Testament, we had manna falling out of the heavens to feed the children. But you know, Adam and Eve kind of messed things up, and the children of Israel, you know, a whole generation had to die in the wilderness. You know, the whole Bible is about, you know, sin and redemption, you know, grace and love. And so we have to really get on this pathway of prosperity by renewing our minds, believing that it's possible, believing that we are worthy of it. You know, just because the last two generations was in scarcity and in lack or poverty does not mean that you can't break the mold, that you can be the first millionaire in the family. It doesn't mean that you have to suffer the sins of your father's fathers, because there's such a thing as breaking generational curses. And how do you do that? By knowing what your inheritance is and believing in the word and then meditating on that word. You know, you have to really detoxify yourself of the junk in the trunk. You got to get rid of the old wives' tales. You know, you're going to be broke just like the rest of us. You're never going to be anything. Those were curses, unfortunately, that some families put on their children. And so when we renew our minds, we reposition ourselves. And you know, repentance is all about change. So renewing your mind is also about change. And so, you know, I remember I had to go on a fast of stop spending. I put myself on a 6-month fast that I could not buy pocketbooks or shoes or just whatever I wanted to do that I feel like I was big enough to do. And then the next phase was to cancel debt and pay off the credit cards.
Right.
But that came as a result of believing that I could have more.
Yep.
And how do I get more? By either increasing your income or decreasing your expenses.
I like that. I like that. And that relates to you, Londa B, because I'm hearing you saying yes, yes. So can you give us some insight, Londa B, on why that actually resonated with you on what Dr. Rucker said?
Yes, budgeting. I remember one time my car was acting a little funny and someone called close in the family and they were like, you know, I think I just heard a word. And they were like, go in a car lot and go buy you a new car, a brand new car. And I was just like, I stopped for a moment, me and my husband at the time, and we were like, okay, is this a faith move? Because our account surely ain't got it in there. But, you know, are we supposed to step on the lot and somebody supposed to say, here, we were waiting for you to come. Here is your brand new car. And my husband was like, he went out there, he opened the hood, he cleaned off the battery, and guess what? The car started and it rolled for at least 5 more years from that moment. And I personally think that person was just listening to that Mary Mary song at the time, talking about go get it, go get your blessing, and they ain't heard nothing from the Lord. Listen, budget is your friend. Do not allow foolish people who think they're hearing a word from the Lord get your butt into debt. It is foolish, it is not wisdom. just like Dr. Rucker just said, you need to get rid of your expenses. If you eating out every day, go to Sam's, get you a pack of chicken, divide that bad boy up, boom, there you go. Two meals right there for probably under $15, and that's dinner. Trust me, I know. You know, but if you taking that $15 and going to get one serving, how you gonna come up, sis? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, be practical with it. Stop trying to live on everybody's standards. Sometimes it's okay to tell your friends, sis, I can't go out this weekend. I'm trying to save up. I'm trying to break this generational curse over my life. Yeah. So by me doing that, there are practical ways of doing it. Prayer works, absolutely. But as you pray, you need to be saving. As mm-hmm. you pray, you need to stop eating out as much. As you pray, you need to stop buying every Michael Kors purse that come out. So mm-hmm. thank you, Dr. Rucker, for saying that.
Yeah.
Georgette, budget is your friend.
Yes.
Londa, you have a popcorn business. Tell us about that.
So it is called Lil Pop Gourmet Popcorn. Thank you for the plug. I appreciate it. And this business was specifically started. I have two young daughters. And when I became a mom and I wasn't able to work full time anymore because I'm homeschooling, I'm going that route. We still need that extra income to come in. So I am doing, we started this business to really teach our daughters entrepreneurship skills. Like, how does it look to set up a bank account? How does it look to open up your own website? How does it look to sell, to teaching them how to speak to people, how to smile, just that all-inclusive, behavior that we weren't able to receive because neither one of our parents were entrepreneurs, yeah. But we want our daughters to do that. We want to go ahead and start that generational wealth with them. So that's what Lil Pop is about.
That's awesome.
Wow. That's awesome, Londa B. So, Mary, can you give us some more insight about that, about poverty mindset? It seemed like a lot of things that were said also resonate with you. And sometimes it hit home because you really don't think about it until you hear everyone, like Dr. Rucker says, like Londa B says, I'm like you. We all kind of like nice things. And God had me in a season two. He's working with me this season, and he's telling me you got to save. But he made me do a method to help me, and I think it's actually been honest. So I would love to share that method after Mary provides us with her insight in reference to the poverty mindset.
Yes, Londa, that thing hit my soul. I was like, woo, I felt that. Yes, for me, okay, my mom is a mother. Mother, she is in the family of six, her and my dad as well. If I look back at some of my very like grandparents on one side, I see poverty. I know my great grandmother worked at the train station. Didn't make much. We were just talking about this the other day of kind of like how they had to be raised and how they came up. A lot of them went into the military. There was not much alternative plans mm-hmm. that they could have chosen. My father's side, my grandfather came from the Bahamas and he went into entrepreneurship. He did gardening and landscaping and was a success to where he was able to buy a lot of properties down in Florida. So, you have two very different mindsets, as far as how to obtain wealth and what wealth looks like. And we are one side of my family. We are just now kind of getting to that point of understanding. We don't have to live the way they lived. My great grandmother saved. She saved what she could. She hid it under the y'all know they used to hide it under the mattress. And so two different mindsets. But we're just now getting to that point where we can say, you know what, there's more that I can do. And for me, I would say listening, being honest, no plug, but just being honest, listening to Bishop T.D. Jakes when I was in college helped me to break out of the mindset and give me an understanding of what does prosperity really look like. I listened to his messages and I began to apply it. Creflo Dollar actually had certain things that I was like, okay, let me give this a try. And as I began to apply it, I began to see my life move forward by faith, simply because I was exposed to something different. And I don't think I don't think if I would have not known about them, I don't know if my life would have went the way that it did. But I can definitely say that what they taught and their messages, it expanded my mind to walk in a higher mindset from where I came from. So yeah. Oh, you have to change your environment. You have to, for me, breaking out of that meant that I had to expose myself to something that I might not have knew about, you know, gain some understanding, financial peace, Dave Ramsey. Once I was able to walk in that, I was like, okay, give me more. Like I was seeking it. So Dave Ramsey was a big influence as far as saving and budgeting and financial freedom. What does financial freedom look like? I'm at a point now where, I have accountability when it comes to my finances. And I'm hoping that by this time next year, that I will be debt free besides my student loans. So
well, we're going to pray that up to the student loans since they're doing that way that we're praying because we all in the situation.
Yes.
We're going to add that to the prayers of because most of us had to pursue that education, especially as Black women, because that's what we were taught. Education, yeah. Education, education, education. So we went to get the education, which also involved us, most of us getting the debt to get the education. Yeah. So one thing that I'm going to tell you, like he says, God would equally yoke you with people when he's trying to elevate you to another level, when he's trying to bring you insight. And I truly believe that he specifically have certain people that he would rid you of, because certain people, like he says, when you're with them, you find yourself maybe spending more, doing more. And he says that season is up. Now I'm finna involve you and transform you to another season. And I actually have one of my best friends, and she actually started her own business as well. And shouts out to Miss Brooks. She's on Styles by J. Christina. So I've been praying, and God's been bringing me little insight of things that I needed to do involved with money. And she came to me probably a while back and was telling me about this thing that her and her husband created. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I'll do it one day. And God told me, now it's time for you to start getting better with your money. And it's like 100 envelopes. And with the 100 envelopes, you label it by $2, $4, $6, $8, $10. And you do it for a whole year. Mm. And every time you have extra cash, you stuff an envelope. So if you got $60, you stuff the envelope with $60. And by the goal is after 100 envelope for 1 year, you are supposed to save $10,100.
Wow. I love that.
Yes.
So I actually implement that because I noticed that I do a lot of extra spending, and you don't realize how much you spend. And so now this is accountability for me to say, okay, you spent, take some extra credit, stuff the envelope. And so now I have this little box that when I have, like, hopefully you can see it. It's a little box that, I don't know if you can see it, that when I do have extra cash, I just drop it in the box. And then once a week, I open up the box to see how much cash I have. And I pull my envelope and I stuff my envelope and I seal it into a little safe so I don't touch it.
That's good.
Yes.
So now that we talked about mindsets and now we know the importance of mindset. So Dr. Rucker, can you actually remember, or can you tell us about a Bible scripture? Like you said, you gave us a whole bunch of, like, Deuteronomy, some scriptures that actually helped you too when it comes to your mindset, especially when it comes to you being an entrepreneur and you pursuing prosperity in every area of your life. Can you give us some Bible scripture that would also help us in this walk?
Sure. One good scripture is Psalms 112:3, and I have it right here in front of me, so let me read it. It says, wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. His righteousness endures forever. And so what we understand is that God is saying in him is wealth and riches and righteousness and holiness. I think as a church, we've only seen God in a holy way, which, don't get me wrong, he is holy, and he's righteous, and he's gracious, he's generous. But there's also this wealthy manifestation side of him, where obedience will bring wealth and riches, submission, you know, to his will, and to his word. In Isaiah, he talks about he'll teach you how to profit. So God will guide you and lead you. And so let me give you another scripture here. Proverbs 13:22. A good man or a good woman leaves an inheritance to his children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So here we are again, being righteous, being in right standing, in right relationship with God. He's going to lead you and direct you and teach you how to profit. And everything that the enemy has been storing up and gaining, it's going to be a transfer to God's people so that you can not only be blessed and prosperous, but you can leave an inheritance, a legacy to your children and to your children's children. And that's where the generational wealth, that's the pillar of scripture for generational wealth. So the Bible is full of scriptures that talks about abundance. John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the second half of the word says, Jesus came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. Well, what is abundance? It's a wealthy place. What is a wealthy place? It's a spiritual place. It's lacking nothing. It's missing nothing. Wealth is not determined by your zip code. Wealth is not determined by how many checks, how many zeros are in the check. Wealth is determined by your wholeness, your sense of fulfillment, your sense of satisfaction, your sense of completion with nothing missing and nothing lacking. So those are a couple of scriptures there that really we can feed on to elevate our mindset.
So Londa B and Mary, just give me a few minutes because I want to stay right here since she says the Bible is full of abundance. It talks about wealth and prosperity. Why do you think that's so hard? And I'm only going to speak on the African-American community within the church. What are you thinking that is what is a stumble block when it comes to that abundancy and what we are entitled to have? And why is it such a touchy subject when it comes to, I've heard many people upset about pastors or bishops that have a lot of money and why they have that plan. And they love to kind of throw in some Bible scriptures and you shouldn't have a cost. So can you just give us an insight because insight on that? Because I think it's very important because a part of us changing is breaking that mindset, like we said. And this will help so many people because it is a touchy topic.
All right, say the question one more time, Tamika, please.
Huh?
Say the question one more time.
I want Dr. Rucker to provide us with some insight on how we as the body of Christ, the church member, because the church is very fickle when you're talking about prosperity and rich. And they love to talk about that pastor don't need that much money. Why do they have plans? So I just want her to give us some insight on what we can do to be to help change that mindset in the body of Christ.
I think we just need to do the whole Bible. I think that we have to look at the word of God from a very holistic, big perspective. If we know that God owns the universe, he created heaven and earth. He is the owner of time. Then that means God got it all. Okay. And so we got to get out of this narrow, closed mindset that is rooted in insecurity and fear. Fear that it's not enough. It's not enough to go around. That if all the pastors are rich, there's not enough money for the people to have anything. Because you may have a few bad apples in the bunch, but God created the world and put man in charge of the world. He gave us the dominion and the power and the authority. Job 22:28 says that we can decree a thing and it shall and it can be established. So it goes back to the mindset. Oh my God, we can't get away from mindset. How we see our leaders is based on how we feel about leaders. If you had parents that were strict or unfair and unjust, if you were the black sheep of the family, so to speak, then that's going to create a blueprint as to how you relate to other authority figures. But if you come out of a household where they're open-minded and respectful of leadership and understand that they have the power to be an entrepreneur and to create their own payday, if we get out of the slavery mindset, the slave system that was created in the United States of America, and it wasn't too long ago, and we're still fighting for freedom in certain realms in the natural world, it's all about shifting. There's enough for all of us and still some left over. So I can go on and on and on, but I hope that I answered the question because I don't want to just...
No, Dr. Rucker, you answered that. So you, like you said, there's enough. So based on what Dr. Rucker said, Mary, there is enough for everybody. Yeah. Let's talk about some of your favorite Bible scripture that you meditate on to help you with changing your mind.
For me, when it comes to, are we talking about, okay, I'm gonna just stick to what I'm thinking. When in terms of, since we're talking about money and wealth, I do keep this one in the back of my mind, which is 1 Timothy 6:10. And it does say that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not saying that money is evil. It's saying that the love of money is the root of all evil. I believe that God has blessed me and that he is blessing me and he will continue to bless me because he's blessed me to be a blessing. And that was one of the commands that he gave in the Old Testament. And so I know for me, that means if God is, if he puts it in my hands, then he's going to trust me to be able to, you know, to be able to be a blessing to others. See another scripture. That's for me, since we're talking about wealth, that's the one that came to my mind. So that's the one I said. I'm not going to say nothing else. I don't have nothing else on my mind.
Okay, Londa B, can you tell us some scriptures that you meditate on? It can be actually that you meditate on when it comes to your mind and wealth, because I think that's also important. So can you tell us something that will help the audience? Scriptures?
I can. But can I first kind of piggyback on that question you asked, Dr. Rucker? So I do want to speak to the people who have been abused and church hurt, because that's real, right? Mm-hmm. It's real. So a lot of people that was, you know, attached to some, let's just call them just straight up jive turkeys, right? I know a friend who, you know, she was sowing seeds into a ministry and the pastor used the money to pay his mortgage and they lost the church. She was hurt, literally spent, you know, years outside of church because of that. And, you know, one thing I want to say is, yes, there are some bad apples in, you know, in the bag, but that's not all preachers, right? And a lot of people are like, well, you know, why is he driving this? Why is he driving that? So number one, a lot of preachers have multiple streams of income. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them aren't just pulling from, you know, tithe to pay for their things. A lot of them have books or music or, you know, so make sure you keep an eye open for that as well. And don't allow that, a bad experience, to stop you from going to church. It is so important to be involved in your local church. So don't allow a bad experience, even multiple bad experiences, right? If you've been in church as long as I have, you know, a pew baby, I've experienced multiple times where I was disappointed by leadership, but you have to continue to trust God. You have to continue to stay plugged in. But next, go to your question that you just asked. Another verse that I do love is Philippians 4:8, where it speaks on thinking on these things, whatever, true, pure, honorable, just, lovely. That's something that I have to check myself on a lot, because my anxiety sometimes can get me to start doubting and get me to start thinking things that are just not, you know, not from God. It's enemies just putting doubt and fear into my mind. And I'm like, well, Londa, is that true? Number one, is that honorable? You know, is that worthy? It, you know, and so I have to check my thoughts with the word of God and align with the word of God. So yeah, that's a scripture that helps me out a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, ladies. So ladies, we're coming down to the end and we're running out of time, but we still have time, always have time to renew our mind. So if Dr. Ruckin don't mind, I would definitely love for her to close us out. It was a special thank you for being here, because I've learned, you don't realize what you can learn in 30 minutes. You can learn a lot when you just sit back and listen to others and others' input. So we thank you for being here. So if possible, can you close us out? For the individuals who may be thinking about pursuing the marketplace for kingdom building, because most of us that are in the body of Christ, we know that God wants us to have the multiple stream of income. And can you give them some, maybe just some little pointers or strategies if they're deciding to pursue going that route that may help them along their journey as far as their mind, what they can get involved with? I know you said you offer coaching. And can you kind of provide us what that looks like? What does coaching look like? Does it involve helping people change their mind?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, in Malachi, it talks about, you know, the hearts of the father being the sons and the fathers being turned back to each other. And so I do believe in these times of marketplace ministry, you need spiritual support. You need spiritual mentorship. You need kingdom coaching, because we weren't created to be an island by ourselves, and there's nothing new under the sun. And therefore, when you connect with someone who's doing what you want to do or have done what you want to do, then it expedites your success. So coaching is all about mindset, at least from where I sit, because oftentimes we lack confidence, we lack courage, we lack conviction. We may have a dream, but until you set goals with deadlines and take inspired action, until you have real accountability, the dreams can actually become nightmares and never manifest into the reality of what God has put in you. Because it is in our DNA to be prosperous. It's in our DNA to be entrepreneurs. We weren't created just to punch a clock and then, you know, get 2 weeks pay at the end of 20 years or 25 years. We were created to advance the kingdom of God. And the only way you can do that is through multiple vehicles, because it says also in the book of Ecclesiastes that you, in chapter 11, I think it's around verse 7, you must have 6, 7, yay, the Bible says, 8 streams of income. And so wise counsel would teach you, and this is what I do in my coaching program, not 8 streams where you are over the place, but you can take one God idea and create multiple streams from that one God idea. Okay, pop-up can be not just popcorn. It can be a t-shirt. It could be a pop-up box with goodies along. It could be a gift box subscription along with popcorn and some other poppy things. And so strategically, I work with my clients to get focused on the one good thing, the one major thing that you know you excel in, that you do with your eyes closed, that you know like the back of your hand. And from there, you create the multiple impact of creating solutions. Because I can't, and I'm not picking on you, London, I just can't eat popcorn all day long. So what else goes popcorn. Along with popcorn? You know what I'm saying?
I'm a papaholic. Yes.
You know, my husband is too.
Yeah, tell us, Bella.
There's all flavors of popcorn. That's where I get, you know, excited. Like, oh my God, there's butter popcorn, there's caramel popcorn, and on and on and on. So with working with me, I work with you on an individual basis as a kingdom coach, keeping in mind that God has put in you the diamond, the diamond in the rough that we're going to carve out and bring out so that you're shining in your brilliance. And that means you're being prosperous. And so it's an individual coaching program. It's not a cookie cutter. You know, I have several types of programs, but at the end of the day, mentorship is at the heart of what I do, because unless you have somebody that's speaking in your life and holding you accountable, mm-hmm. and answering you the hard question, you'll never grow. You'll never change. You'll remain the same. And so as a mentor, as a coach, as a best-selling author, you know, at the end of the day, I am result-driven based on your purpose. And so accountability, you know, goes along with coaching, because at the end of the day, we have to give an account for every word, for every deed, for every thought. And think about those talents in the Bible, in the New Testament. God gave some 10, gave some 5, gave some 1. The one who did nothing with it, he was cursed. The fig tree was cursed because it didn't produce. And so we are mandated to duplicate ourselves and produce and to advance the kingdom. God is about every soul having the opportunity to be saved and to be blessed. And that means there has to be people out there with the message, with the product, with the service, with the ministry, and every industry known unto mankind. Everybody is not going back to the church. So in your job, in your government position, in your corporate position, you are a change agent for the kingdom of God. So coaching is about causing you to rise up and stand up in your strength and your brilliance and your purpose, you know, and really fulfilling the call on your life. And sometimes that means, you know, a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And that's why I like to take individual coaching. I have group coaching. I have individual mentorship. You know, it's all about going to the next level and then the next level and then the next level until you finally reach glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank everyone for joining us. And we're going to close out what Dr. Rucker says. You are a change agent. You are a change agent. And one thing we want you to kind of meditate on this weekend with Women Arise is taking your thoughts captive. Simply means gaining control over what you think about yourself and your life. You have a blessed week, and we thank you for joining the broadcast, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye. Thank you. It's been my honor.